93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Friday is back and it's a return to league action on the road for Pompey this weekend after a hectic 6 days on home turf, which ended in defeat on Monday night.
Early cross into the box, loose in the area and forced into the back of the net. And Eddie Nketiah has doubled Arsenal's lead.
The Gunners of Arsenal booked their place in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup with a 2-0 win at Fratton. But it wasn't easy. The Blues put up one hell of a fight at the Fortress, but Premier League quality eventually shone through. Tomorrow, Kenny Jackett takes his side to Peterborough United, looking for a third consecutive league victory. And this evening, we want you back home to get involved with the conversation. Who starts at the back for Pompey this weekend with Christian Burgess suspended? Would a defeat spell the end to hopes of a top two finish? And let us know your score predictions ahead of the game. All of the ways to get in touch with us this evening on the show can be found on our website, expressfm.com. So strap in for the next 55 minutes or so, because it's time now for the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, which this season is being driven to you by Stagecoach across the South, getting you from A to B at quickly and with ease, all at a low price too. Head over to stagecoach.co.uk for more information on where your nearest stop is. Coming up on tonight's show, I'll be bringing Ryan Stilwell and Alex Fletcher, my two studio guests, into the conversation to discuss all the latest involving Portsmouth FC. We have a small review of the events of the last week at Fratton Park before turning our attention to this weekend's match, which is away to Peterborough United. We'll also be talking about how coronavirus could impact the remainder of the season. We'll have all of the vital information you need to know on how to get to tomorrow's game, the key players who will be posing a threat to Pompey on the day, and we'll also be hearing from Ian Chiverton towards the end of the hour. He'll be telling us all about what's been going on with the Pompey women as of late. But first, let's take a step back in time. As far back as Monday evening, the Blues welcomed Mikel Arteta's Arsenal to Fratton Park for a fifth-round FA Cup clash under the lights. Kenny Jackett's side had seen off Harrogate Town, Altrincham, Fleetwood Town and Barnsley to make it through to this stage of the competition, to be kindly rewarded with a free hit against Premier League opposition. The Gunners brought down some hefty ammunition from North London, including former Champions League winners, players with tons of top-flight experience across Europe, and some up-and-coming stars too. And here's how the game unfolded, right here on Pompey Live.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You would have believed!
Pompey Live.
Portsmouth and Arsenal have shared some thrilling matches over the years, but the chapter Portsmouth so desperately want to write is getting one over the North London side. We are underway. Portsmouth on the attack down the left. Seddon's ball in the box is blocked to Arsenal. Pick up possession. That's a nice ball to Nketiah, but a strange ball back to him, and he gives it to Ellis Harrison. He's got no support. Harrison had to go alone. Two to beat. Harrison thinks about the shot. Past a couple. Now he will shoot. Deflected and wide for a Pompey corner. 0-0. Is this Williams outside the penalty area? Thought about the shot. Instead goes to Harness. Seddon on the overlap. Harness uses that as a dummy. Shoots. Deflect. And it'll be blocked half away. You can't blame Harness having a shot. High foot. And Portsmouth have a free kick, which they take quickly. Seddon down by the left corner flag. Seddon to deliver to the penalty spot. Evans wide! Chance for Evans. And it's missed the target. 0-0. And nobody's marked. Nelson, the taker. Second chance to deliver. Loose in the box. And into the penalty area. And the back of the net from Sokratis. Arsenal have scored. It's the second delivery from the right-hand side. Pompey held out till first half stoppage time. It's a fine finish from the Greek defender. It's Portsmouth 0, Arsenal 1. Nelson trying to take on Seddon and go round the outside of him, and Nelson showing his pace. Early cross into the box. Loose in the area and forced into the back of the net. And Eddie Nketiah has doubled Arsenal's lead. He'll celebrate in front of the Fratton end. That won't be appreciated. But Arsenal are moving away from Portsmouth in this FA Cup tie. It's Portsmouth 0, Arsenal 2. Towards the far post, over ahead of everyone, and behind for a goal kick, and that'll just about be that. Warm applause and chant of up the Football League we go from the Pompey fans. As the final whistle goes, they've lost 2-0 to Arsenal. They're out of the FA Cup, but a performance they can take a lot of respect from this evening. It's finished this evening. Portsmouth 0, Arsenal 2.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's 2-0 defeat at home to Arsenal on Monday night in the FA Cup. Of course, the Gunners progressing through to the quarter-finals of the prestigious competition. And if Pompey had got through, which of course was unlikely in the first place, they would have been away to Sheffield United and Stevens' new team in the Premier League. Okay, joining me here on the Football Hour this evening to look ahead to the next week of action for the Blues. First of all, a delight to welcome back into the studio Ryan Stillwell. Ryan, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Smith. How are we?
Very good. And let's go back to Monday night, of course, a game under the Fratton Park floodlights, which is always a special occasion, against Premier League opposition as well. Arsenal, who themselves aren't having the best of seasons, we know that. But let's face it, in the end, Premier League quality shone through. And of course, we got to see some of the up-and-coming rising stars of the Arsenal as well.
We did. And once again, it turned out to be a battle of League One grit versus Premier League quality. And once again, the Premier League wins out. For a while there, we did have them on the back foot, and you could tell that their younger players weren't, and even some of their veteran players, David Luiz himself was struggling at times to handle the situation early in the first half, but we couldn't quite make it pay. And you see, sometimes you can sometimes forget how athletically exquisite these players are when you see it on TV. When you see them come down to this level, you see just how quick they are, how fit they are, and it just, the gap is once again so evident between the third tier and the top tier, and it's only ever going to get bigger. So yeah, for a while it was in our hands, but yeah, Premier League quality, yeah, 9 times out of 10 will take it, and Monday was just another example of that.
It was a performance to be proud of, wasn't it, Alex Fletcher, who now joins me in the studio alongside Ryan Stillwell. The performance to be proud of, and Pompey certainly put a lot of effort into the game in the first, you know, 20, 30 minutes of the match. Rather unfortunate, maybe, to be 1-0 down at half-time.
Yeah, I mean, I said exactly the same thing to the people I was with. It was such an unfortunate time to concede, because then you've always got that uphill battle. If you get into half-time at 0-0, there's suddenly a bit of hope. You've got the chance of a team talk. And then the second goal as well, that came at an unfortunate time. It sort of killed the game, really. So I felt quite, you know, upset for the players, because I thought they put enough effort into merit a 0-0 at half-time. But as I say, it's just the way of it, and that's just the cruel game, really. And as much as it was a nice occasion and the FA Cup's been a great run, a lot of fans will obviously perhaps feel slightly relieved that we've got the chance to focus on the league now.
Mm. Decent cup runs in all competitions this season, Ryan, and you know, shows really Pompey's progression, and I think the key words being strength and depth, we mentioned so often on Pompey Live as well. The Carabao Cup, Birmingham at home, QPR away before, but unfortunately the South Coast Derby defeat, the EFL Trophy, of course, as we know, through to the final, Wembley, Salford City await the Blues there. And in the FA Cup, we mentioned there, Harrogate how Altrincham, two non-league potential banana skin games, got through those relatively easily. Fleetwood away, Barnsley at home, that was a great occasion, and rewarded for all of that really with a tie against a Premier League team who, you know, we went into the game with no kind of fear, no real expectation, just to really go to Fratton Park and enjoy the occasion for what it was.
Absolutely. I think the only unknown element heading into the Arsenal game is who would play. And there was a lot of debate prior to kick-off about, would we put out the strongest 11, would we put out a backup 11, or would we go somewhere in between? And obviously it became evident Monday that we went somewhere in between. And for all of that, we still put in a good effort. I think there may have been an element of what if, had we put out the absolute strongest side we could have. But you'd like to think that because we didn't put out the strongest side available, that may have just saved a couple of legs for the very tough Peterborough test tomorrow. And it will be a very tough test there. So I can absolutely see why we went with the approach we did. And ultimately, it was one of those nights where, yes, the second half was a little bit of a dead rubber because of the way Arsenal, like you said, Fletch, they were able to essentially lock it up just after half time. But it's still a great night for atmosphere wise. I think it's still a night that fans will look back on and say, that was a fun night to be at Fratton and just enjoy the occasion. And then we move on.
A lot of people surprised with Monday night's team selection, Alex. We mentioned on the Tuesday Football Hour just a few days ago that, you know, the manager can't really win. Kind of, you know, you've got an EFL Trophy semi-final over to Exeter, doesn't rotate the squad through to Wembley, and suddenly it's all his fault when Ellis Harrison picks up an injury. Rotate the squad against Arsenal in, you know, a game which we're not all expecting to be defeated in. Looking ahead to, as Ryan mentions there, the Peterborough game this weekend. Were you surprised with some of the names on that team sheet, or perhaps pleased with the fact that Kenny's rested the likes of Tom Naylor, Ronan Curtis, Sean Raggett in particular?
Well, I was surprised in particular to see someone like James Bolton at centre-back, because it's not a position I've naturally seen him in. Mind you, I thought he performed very well. But at the same time, of course you can understand it. And as soon as we saw the team sheet, it was, well, it's fine, we've got the focus. I think fans will be critical of the manager, whatever the team selection is, and they'll criticise him after the game, even though a lot of things you can only see with hindsight. I think what they'll be looking at now, they'll be saying, right, against Peterborough, we want to see a really, really strong performance. We want to see just energy. And whether the result comes our way, but they want to see the energy. They want to see that those players have had the rest. The likes of Curtis, who is a player that really does rely on that bit of energy, that bit of pace, the likes of Marquis, and to see if that Raggett, and with whoever he plays with at the back, is sharp, is on the money, and then all will sort of be forgiven. But there's always going to be a debate, and as you say, he can't win, can he?
No.
Either way, there have been certain people I've said, yeah, it was a great decision. Some people I've even heard said he should have gone even weaker and rested some of our other key players. So it's an ongoing debate. I think you've just got to trust the manager on that one.
Alex mentions there Ronan Curtis and, you know, needing that rest in particular. We saw at the start of the season Ronan Curtis, a player who was quite a shadow of his former self in his first campaign here at Fratton Park. He was given a few weeks off by the manager, essentially could say dropped Ryan, not in the squad for the league trips to Doncaster, the trophy trip, of course, to Oxford as well, and the League One home game against Gillingham. He was on the bench, didn't feature in that one. Then when he came back, defeat away to Wimbledon before a win against Lincoln, following that, scoring 5 goals in the space of 6 games, he came back a man on fire. And even following those matches, we had one league game with a try spell and then scored 4 league games in a row.
Absolutely, and he also started picking up the assist game as well. I think there was a couple of games where he scored and set up a goal, so it was that late November, early December period where we'd got the best of Curtis back, and since then he's not really looked back. Yes, the goal scoring has dried up a little bit, but the influence he's having upon games, especially now that he's partnered up with Steve Seddon, they're such a dual threat now, especially from set pieces. The moment Seddon came into the team, Curtis's set pieces deliveries picked up as well, and it came to the point where we could hurt teams from either side of the pitch in terms of when we had corners or free kicks. So yeah, if you look at Curtis back in October time, when he was dropped from our squad, when he was dropped from the Ireland squad, there were questions hanging over could he recover it, and he absolutely has. He's even added to his game since then, because I never thought in his time here that he'd taken a really great corner or really great free kick, one of those where you like to see it bend to the back post and see who gets on the end of it. I think since that new year period, he's got 3 or 4 of those goals where he's just whipped it to the back post, and it's a case of who wants to get on the end of it. So it's fantastic to see that one of our key assets has recovered from being ousted from both his domestic team and his national team and actually come back stronger. And yeah, like you say, just those few days of rest, just that little bit extra rest for such a tough trip tomorrow, you've got to be feeling confident that he can have an influence upon the game.
You mentioned a few moments ago, Alex, you mentioned Ronan Curtis just then, but you mentioned Pompey's real intensity and the way they've been attacking recently. Taking that into tomorrow, Pompey's waveform sort of picked up at the start of the year, you know, Tranmere and Bolton away in particular, 2 very good wins. But then the last 2 matches, Coventry and Fleetwood, unfortunately ending up in narrow defeats. Do you think that Pompey's away day woes have slowly crept back in, or are you kind of positive actually that maybe you know, you take into consideration the Arsenal game. Of course, you know, Rochdale at home last Friday, MK Dons last Tuesday, 6 goals in those 2 games. Do you think that intensity is actually back? Can that breed into tomorrow's game?
We have to play with confidence. We have to believe we can go and win. I think maybe that's the difference between the home and away form, is that we always believe we can win at home. And I think when you get that mentality, you can steamroll teams. And you look at the MK Dons game, I don't think that perhaps the performance was quite as good as we could have seen, but we still won fairly comfortably and didn't have too many problems, albeit against a side lower down the league. So I think it's just about confidence, and that they've just got to get it out of their head that it's an away game or whatever. They've got to use that intensity, and they've got to try and employ all the tactics they have to score goals. Because you look at the six goals you said in those 2 games, the 2 previous away games with the Fleetwood and Coventry,
yeah,
both 1-0 defeats. And in both those games, we saw very little creativity. We saw very little going forward in those areas, danger and whatever you want to call it. So I think it is about just having that confidence and just saying that we don't have to adjust our tactics. We don't have to give Peterborough too much respect. Mm. You have to watch out for them. They're a good team. But any away team at all, we've got to win a couple of these games. You look at me, we've got Oxford, you've got Rotherham,
Ipswich.
Yeah, exactly. All these teams to come. We've got to get points in at least a couple of them, yeah, assuming then that we go and pick up points in almost all of our home games, which I think I have confidence. So we've just got to play with no fear, and we've just got to, we can't adjust too much. I think when you adjust too much, you can dismantle a good system.
Don't look into it too much. Talking about, you know, Monday's game, there's been talk, Ryan, that, you know, these cup competitions have been distracting Pompey, fatigue could come settling, which of course is why the manager Kelly Jackett decided to rotate a few players. But you look at the atmosphere during the entire 90 minutes on Monday evening against Arsenal, and you look at the way the fans reacted after the game, you know, like the South Coast derby, staying behind, applauding the team, actually respecting, despite the loss, how well Pompey played. Do you think actually that Monday's cup defeat actually has reinserted a little bit more belief that we've actually got the firepower now to try and do well in this league?
I'd go even further and say our cup runs this year are not a hindrance, and they are a help. If you look back at the game on January 5 away at Fleetwood in the third round, we went up there and won 2-1. Ugly game. It was almost identical to the game we lost up at Fleetwood. Essentially, we scored more scrappy goals than they did. That started the nine game run of winning every game we played and setting club records. And, you know, an FA Cup game away at Fleetwood was the spark of that run. So it's helped us in that sense. And then I absolutely believe that the players were galvanised by winning that Barnsley game 4-2, because, yes, it was a struggling Barnsley team of the Championship, but they're still in a league above us, and you still want to get to the next round of that competition. And I think that helped out the players. And obviously there's a general mood around the club when you think of the remarkable comeback we pulled off in stoppage time against Exeter. I do absolutely see the point that sometimes a cup run can be a hindrance, especially multiple cup runs. But if you look at the way our cup runs have gone this season, mm-hmm, and the way these games have played out and the oppositions we've played against and the way we've won these games, I think they've actually boosted the morale of this team. They've helped us set up good winning runs, especially that Fleetwood game in January I mentioned. So I think they are helping us out. Yes, it does lead to some fatigue, but sometimes you find that little bit extra to get you over the line when those legs are suffering, and I'm hoping that can be the case as we head into this final. I think it's 11 league games, yeah, and obviously the final of the trophy. So I think this year it can be a help.
Don't forget, if you'd love to get involved with the show, you can do from back home. Do you agree with Ryan's statement that actually cup runs this season have helped in Pompey's bid for a promotion this season? Also, with Christian Burgess suspended for the next 2 games, who starts at the back alongside Sean Raggett? Assuming, of course, he starts tomorrow's game. And is the Peterborough match a must-win, or would defeat still keep Pompey in the hunt for automatics? Text the word EXPRESS followed by your name and message to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. Be sure to let us know your score predictions for tomorrow's game as well. And join us again after the break for more Pompey discussion here on the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back, and if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Express FM, and this is The Football Hour with myself, Jake Smith, Ryan Stilwell and Alex Fletcher. The show is sponsored by Stagecoach Buses. Why not travel on one of their many buses with plenty to see and do around Portsmouth? They have great deals for families and for students as well. Visit stagecoach.co.uk or download the app to plan your next journey. Let's get to an email which has come into us now. Dave in Cowplain, good evening to you. He says, I will be concerned if when the team is announced tomorrow, we find that Tom Naylor is covering Christian Burgess's absence. I feel we miss Naylor in midfield, possibly one of our most consistent performers this season. And surely we have two or three other players that are equally qualified to take on Tony and Issa tomorrow. Dave in Cowplain, thank you for your email and your concern, of course. Ryan, let's talk about that email then, and we'll come on to the threat that Tony and Issa do, of course, pose Pompey tomorrow later on in the show. But in regards to his email about Tom Naylor and his real presence in midfield, he says one of the most consistent performers this season. First of all, would you agree with that?
I would, because you would literally have to cherry-pick performances where he's had an absolute nightmare. And I think the first one would probably spring to mind is the 4-1 humiliation at Accrington in December when he was put back into to centre-back when Burgess was suspended. But that was the day that, on Pompey Live after the game, you and I quite literally called every player out and said their performance was awful. Yeah. So when Tom Naylor plays bad, it's almost as if everyone plays bad. He's such a vital cog within the machine. And if you want to look at it even further, the players voted him player of the season last year because he picked up player's player. Matt Clark pretty much swept every other award, but the actual team voted Tom Naylor, which shows the value he has within the team dynamic. And obviously most of that team is still here, and you can see what we are physically just in front of the defence when he is there and when he isn't there. We can get breezed past in the middle in games where he doesn't feature just in front of those two defensive centre-backs, and then when he is there, you do have that kind of extra security. You've got that cover in front of defence for the most part, certainly at home. Teams don't normally run through us at home when he's there. So for him being one of the consistent performers, I would totally agree. He is one of our key assets in this team.
Yeah. Strange to see as well, Alex. You know, Ryan mentions the Accrington game, the last time Tom Naylor played at centre-back for Pompey. Safe to say, didn't work out too well. I think the first time at that point Pompey had lost a league game by more than one goal in about a year and a half. So it just goes to show really the influence that he does indeed have in midfield. But in regards to kind of Pompey's centre-back options, James Bolton, of course, played Monday night's game out of the blue. Wasn't expecting that at any point. Jack Watmore, of course, is available. He's back from injury. Hasn't really picked up as many minutes as we'd like, though. And, of course, Paul Downing seemed to be a forgotten man who, he is still there. He still plays for Pompey. He is an option for the Blues tomorrow. Personally, what would you go for out of those three, you know, assuming you're not going to say Tom Naylor?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I wouldn't say Tom Naylor. Because, as you say, I mean, not just the Accrington debacle, but I think he is a strong player in that midfield, and I think you lose that, and despite the fact we've brought in midfield players. I would always favour the idea of a proper centre-back, you know, a centre-back that is trained in that position, that is always going to be there, because especially when you're up against strong attacking players like Tony and Issa in particular, they've got that knowledge, they've got that knowledge of the position. So in that case, I would put Watmore in there. But if I were Jacket, looking at the performance of Bolton on Monday, he seems confident, he seems fresh, he doesn't seem like he's tiring at all. And he's got a bit of pace from being a fullback as well, being able to keep up with those players. I think he'll play at centre-back tomorrow. And I don't think many Pompey fans can have too many complaints. No. I think it's very tough for Jacket to turn around to Bolton and say, listen, you're back on the bench or whatever. Or even if you were to move him into the fullback position at right-back, because he showed especially skillful but also gritty, determined centre-back play on Monday, and I think Lucas Torreira is probably the first person to tell you that. So I think that's what he'll go for. I don't think we can complain if he does.
Speaking of Lucas Torreira, is it a fractured ankle we're hearing? All the best to him, Ryan. And of course, we do wish any injured player all the best, despite any, you know, depends who goes in on the tackle. But in regards to that challenge, you know, we brushed over it on Monday night and, of course, on a Tuesday Football Hour as well. But in light of how, you know, the extent of the injury that has occurred from it, are you surprised to see that at all? Because James Bolton did win the ball.
He did.
There's no doubt about that. And seeing the backlash from Premier League Twitter this week kind of assures me that if Pompey were to get back into the Premier League, we're in for a totally new ball game, because none of them liked that.
No, they didn't. And it is unfortunate, because it was when two players run full speed in different directions and collide together like that, it can be really innocuous in terms of a smooth transition. I'm just going to keep going while you your chair caves in on you.
That didn't happen.
You essentially folded like a deck chair.
My chair just
completely caved away. But it was James Bolton apparently who just did that to you. But in terms of the challenge itself, full speed collisions like that, you can either walk away from it with absolutely nothing, or you can end up with an injury. And it actually looks quite an innocuous piece of contact, because Torreira was kind of lifted himself off the ground just a little bit, and he sort of slid on his back as he landed. It didn't look, you couldn't really see his ankle twisting in such a way that would have been fractured, in the sense of Andre Gomes for Everton. That collision with Son actually looked innocuous when the contact first happened, but because of what happened afterwards, that small sequence of events led to that really, really bad injury. And obviously Son's red card was overturned, so Arsenal fans saying, well, it should be a red card because he was injured. There is absolutely nothing within the FA rulebook that says the severity of the injury dictates the punishment. Football does not work like that. Sometimes brutally evil challenges a player will walk away from. Someone could go in studs up on someone's ankle running down the wing, and they'll walk away from it. Yeah. And then the absolute
go back
opposite
to 1980s
can happen.
Football.
Exactly, And it is unfortunate for Torreira, but I'm not going to change my stance on this. No. It was a great, well-timed challenge. It was two players running at full speed, and Bolton's just got there first. And there was no trailing leg action, because he had his trailing leg tucked behind him. The only reason it's made contact with Torreira is because they are two exceptionally fit athletes who are heading into a collision at full speed from different directions. That sometimes happens in football. Yes, all the best to Torreira with his recovery, but this is the game. We can't turn this into the NBA. We can't turn this into non-contact, where a slight nudge will gain you a technical foul.
MLS.
The game doesn't, or even the MLS. The game doesn't work like that. And it's just one of those unfortunate instances.
Alex, whilst you calm down, Ryan, I'm going to read out Graham Wilkinson's email. He says, evening, gents.
We love you, Bolton.
I like that. Bolton for England. I think it was a fair game against Arsenal, says Graham, on Monday, although at times I thought we gave him too much respect. The first half was good, but the golden half-time was a blow, and we never really got going in the second half. Bolton was exceptional in his centre-half position. Don't get Ryan started again. And that tackle on Torreira was well-aimed and fair.
And another thing.
Shame about Burgess being suspended against his old team, though. On to Peterborough, do you think it will be Bolton partnering Raggett at the back, as Watmore hasn't had any game time, and it might be a hard ask of him to be thrown into a match of this importance? Graham, I wish I could answer the question, but I think we can totally agree with that. You know, Alex, you mentioned a few moments, you know, the impact James Bolton had on Monday evening, but with Jack Watmore, the only minutes he's really had for Pompey since recovering was a reserve-friendly away to Plymouth Argyle, which he supposedly played well. Personally, didn't see the game, but with a match of this importance, as Graham mentions, tomorrow afternoon, is it going to be a risk if Watmore does start that game?
It is a risk. I think it is down to the determination of Jacket, because at the same time he'll be looking at it and saying, well, what we also lose with Burgess, not just as a defensive option, but as you were mentioning earlier about how Curtis and Seddon in particular are now making us incredibly dangerous from set pieces and crosses. I mean, Burgess has picked up a fair few goals from those positions this season. You lose that immediately, and a player like Bolton doesn't perhaps have the same presence. If you wanted to genuinely utilise the sort of set piece options and the idea of being able to score goals or be a threat, then Watmore is obviously another player that can do that, because he's strong, he's physical, he's tall. But it's always a risk, and it is always a risk to put in a player, as you say, that's had one reserve game. and then put him into a game against Peterborough. It maybe with hindsight, if he'd have played against Arsenal, you could have maybe seen something. But we haven't had too many throwaway games, or we can just put players in. So it would be a considerable risk. But then, if it were to happen, it is always a risk that could pay off, and it could pay dividends if he pops up with a header or as I say, has that centre back's knowledge in order to sort of be able to deal with one of those players. But I still maintain he'll go with Bolton, Jacket.
Ryan, let's quickly talk about something which I never thought I'd talk about here on a show entitled The Football Hour. But as a result of the ongoing concerns posed by the coronavirus outbreak, this is an EFL statement earlier today. Following specific medical advice for fair play handshake between players and match officials before and after this weekend's games will not take place at EFL matches and actually until further notice. We've also heard similar statements from the Premier League, the National League, all the way down really to the lower reaches of the English football. And we're not going to go into too much detail of the coronavirus, but of course we all know, you know, the threat that actually that can pose on the, you know, the actual health of people, which is a massive thing, and we hope that it goes away pretty soon. But what do you make of these statements that are being made? Because we're entering some pretty tough times at the moment. We've also seen across Europe and Italy in particular, games being closed behind, played behind closed doors, games being postponed. In fact, Serie A in Italy, a whole month without any fans in stadiums. So it's something we've got to look out for. And, of course, the EFL have gone to these measures to try and prevent anything from spreading. What do you think?
In the context of the coronavirus itself, obviously, it is something you do have to keep an eye on because it is in the public frame so much, whether or not it's been overblown. Mm. If you look into it a bit deeper, then you could potentially make that argument, but again, we're not here for that. In the context of the statements made by the EFL and the Premier League, the pre-match handshakes will be nullified until such a time where this essentially resolves itself. I have to admit, I found it amusing because I can guarantee you, with the way we play football, at 14:58, the team tomorrow at 14:58, the teams will not shake hands.
No.
At 15:03, Pompey will have a corner and there'll be about 15 players in the Peterborough box pushing and shoving each other, strangling each other, smacking each other in the face, grabbing each other by the whatnots.
James Bolton's gone flying in
and there'll be so much hand contact, you'll be thinking it's Valentine's Day again. So what's the point of nullifying the pre-match handshake?
They'll be in the mud as well, they'll be all over the turf
spitting on the pitch.
This is
why I wanted to bring it up, Alex, because
so what is the point?
what is the point in this? Because I know that, you know, you can say that, you know, the coronavirus is spread by germs on my hands and, of course, my face as well. But when you've got stadiums across the country that are reaching, you know, between the likes of 3,000 to 73,000, if Man United are home this weekend, I'm not too sure. But you've got so many people enclosed in such a tight space within the stands as well, the dugouts as well, the medical staff, everyone involved, everyone inside these stadiums this weekend. What happens to them? Are we not allowed to sit near each other? Do you know what I mean? Why are...
Well, Wigan fans would be safe.
Wigan and Southampton would be okay. Yeah. But if you're talking about handshakes, we're not going to try and rattle any more fan bases. But handshakes. What is the point, as Ryan said?
I don't know.
Or does that sound a little bit... I don't know.
Yeah, I understand why they're doing it. It's a precaution. And it's also because it's something that, in all honesty, doesn't necessarily... Your chair's gone again. It doesn't necessarily affect the team too much, because if you do a fist bump or else, or in Europe they're just touching elbows or something like that. I'm not sure if you can transfer a virus from an elbow, but whatever, it's something you can control, and it's something that doesn't really do too much harm. So as much as it's amusing, it's pretty harmless.
Gents, thank you. We're going to move forward now. This weekend the Blues are on the road again, and it's safe to say that their travels haven't treated them too kindly so far this season. Just for 5 wins from 16 games in the league, including 8 disappointing defeats. Tomorrow they head up to Cambridgeshire to take on three scoring Peterborough United, and before we start to preview what's on offer on the pitch, it's time to take a few minutes to hear all you need to know on how to get to the game safely and quickly.
Pompey supporters will once again be travelling in numbers this weekend, and the destination for them tomorrow is Peterborough United's London Road Stadium, otherwise known as the Western Home Stadium for sponsorship purposes. The ground has a capacity of just over 15,000, and Blues fans will be situated in half of the Motorpoint East stand. If you're heading to the game via car, then you will need to key in the following address into your sat-navs. The stadium can be found on London Road, Peterborough, postcode PE28AL. That's PE28AL. The stadium is located on the outskirts of Peterborough city centre and is quite well signposted. You'll need to travel up the A1 and leave at junction 17, taking the A1139 Fletton Parkway towards Peterborough after coming off. Then exit the A road at junction 3, turn left at the roundabout onto the A1260 Nene Parkway and leave the A1260 at the first exit signposted Orton Malbourne. At the next roundabout, take the third exit into Morley Way, then take the first exit into Shrewsbury Avenue at the following roundabout. After half a mile, you will reach a set of traffic lights where there is a car sales showroom on one corner. Here, you will need to turn onto the A605. Continue along Oundle Road for about a mile and you'll see the stadium on your right. Unfortunately, there is no parking available at the ground for visiting supporters. There is, however, parking for cars and coaches in the Pleasure Fair Meadow Council and Rail Ward car park opposite the stadium, adjacent to the town bridge on Oundle Lane. There's also several other pay and display car parks within walking distance of the ground, hidden within the surrounding areas. Please check for any parking restriction signs, and if you decide to opt to park on any of the nearby residential streets, as the side roads nearest ground operate a residence-only parking scheme. If you're thinking of heading up by train but are yet to plan your journey, trains run directly to Peterborough from London King's Cross, a journey of about 50 minutes. Alternatively, you can go from Horsham, which takes about 3 hours. At the moment, there are no planned engineering works or industrial actions scheduled for the weekend. Peterborough Railway Station is about a mile from the ground, but fear not, there is a taxi rank at the station if you don't fancy the 20-minute walk. Peterborough City is only about a 15-minute walk from the ground and has plenty of pubs and places to eat. There's a burger bar outside the ground, a KFC opposite, and various food outlets along London Road. The Brewery Tap Pub is situated nearby to the train station and was built within transformed Old Labour Exchange at 80 Westgate, postcode PE12AA. The tap is home to the award-winning microbrewery Oakham Ales, serving Thai food and good beer. Inside the ground, there are the usual hot drinks, burgers, hot dogs, sausage rolls, pies and pasties. But please note that alcohol is not usually available in the away end. For up-to-date and on-the-day travel information, we advise you head to @PompeyFCCop on Twitter and be sure to check out all the relevant websites before setting off. These include Trainline and National Rail if you're heading up via train, and Highways England if you've opted to go via the roads.
Robbie James there with a guide on how to make it to the Western Home Stadium tomorrow. Don't forget, as he mentioned, to follow @PompeyFCCop on Twitter and keep checking National Rail and Highways England for up-to-date on-the-day travel information. We're going to head to the final break of this evening's show now, which gives you back home just enough time to get your score predictions into the panel to be read out just before 7 o'clock this evening. You can get in touch via text. Simply send your name and prediction to 81400, putting the word Express at the start of your message. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or send us a tweet @ExpressFM is where to find us on there. So join us after the break when we continue to look ahead to this weekend's action. It's Peterborough United versus Pompey, and the rest of the preview is coming up next.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very warm welcome back to the show. We've reached the third and final part, which means it's time to continue to look ahead to Pompey's next fixture, which is away to Peterborough United tomorrow afternoon. A 3 o'clock kickoff at the Western Home Stadium, more commonly known as London Road. The Football Hour is brought to you this evening by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app today to locate your nearest stop, view the latest timetables, and find the best prices on fares in and around the city. Let's gain a little insight now into the team that stands in Pompey's way of moving up into the top two this weekend, including some facts on their top goal scorer, one to watch, and the man in the dugout too. Here is this week's opposition, Peterborough United.
So the Blues are back in action, and it's time once again to switch the focus back over to Sky Bet League One, following Tuesday night's FA Cup exit at home to Arsenal. Lining up against Pompey on match day 34 this week, it's Peterborough United.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Pompey will be making the journey up to Western Home Stadium this weekend to take on free-scoring Peterborough United, otherwise known as the Posh, who have scored a whopping 66 goals already this season. Kenny Jackett takes his side into the game, having been dumped out of the FA Cup in midweek and following two consecutive defeats on the road. Here's hoping the Blues can, once again, put behind their away day woes this time round.
Manager.
The son of one of the most successful managers in the world, Sir Alex Ferguson, is the boss of Peterborough United, and he goes by the name of Darren Ferguson. The 48-year-old Scotsman was brought through the youth ranks at Manchester United and made his senior debut under his father's reign in 1990. Ferguson is currently holding the position as manager at Peterborough for the third time, having previously taken charge between 2008 and 2009, as well as a four-year stint between 2011 and 2015. He was reappointed last January.
One to watch.
Keep your eye this weekend on Peterborough's number 7, Mo Issa, who is joint fourth in League One goal-scoring charts with 14 successful strikes since the start of the campaign. The former Cheltenham prospect signed on a permanent deal in the summer, and it was a club record fee which managed to lure the Sudanese forward away from Bristol City, who themselves only signed him the previous summer for a reported £1 million. In two seasons at Cheltenham, Issa managed 25 goals from 50 appearances before moving to Ashton Gate in 2018, where he featured on just five occasions in the Championship, scoring on neither. He scored the equaliser for Peterborough at Fratton Park in a 2-2 draw back in December, and his brother Abbo netted for Scunthorpe against the Blues in January's EFL Trophy quarter-final tie, also at PO4.
Top scorer.
Runway bagsman Ivan Toney is leading the way this season and sits comfortably at the top of the division's goal-scoring charts, having scored 23 times. The former Newcastle United starlet, who now wears the number 17 shirt, was shipped out on loan six times during his three-year stay at Tyneside before sealing a much-needed permanent move away in 2018, his destination, of course, being Peterborough. Toney will be back in the matchday squad for the Posh this weekend after sitting out the side's previous two games due to suspension. The striker picked up his 10th yellow card of the season in a 4-0 victory over Southend United back in February.
Current form.
Darren Ferguson's side were going pretty strong in League One for quite some time this season, maintaining their position within the top two very early on. However, the Posh have slowly but surely declined and as a result now occupy a position outside the playoffs. Peterborough sit 8th and 2 points behind both 5th place Sunderland and Fleetwood in 6th. 3 points separate Pompey from their opponents this weekend, though Kenny Jackett's side have gone a game in hand on the Posh. So, can the Blues prevent Peterborough from bouncing back from their own rough patch? A victory could see Pompey in the top two come the final whistle. Catch all of the unmissable action as it unfolds on 93.7 FM and I Follow Pompey for Pompey Live.
All you need to know there on the Blues opponents, Peterborough, ahead of tomorrow's big game at London Road. Let's not beat around the bush then, lads. Two big threats for the Posh tomorrow afternoon. Start with you, Alex. The first of which, Ivan Toney, top goal scorer in the league. Already over 20 goals in the league alone this season. He's just come back from a two-game suspension and he's ready and raring to go tomorrow afternoon. Perfect timing, eh?
Well, I can just hope that there'll be one of our players that can sort of make similar headlines. If you've got the likes of Curtis or someone come on, you can just, because I mean Peterborough will be saying that as well. Peterborough will be fearing our strikers and our attacking players. Let's just hope someone can sort of steal the limelight. But yeah, he's a threat. Even if we do get a win, I expect us to have to sort of score a couple. I do expect Peterborough to score. And he is their big goal threat. And when we were at Fratton Park last season, he just ran rings around all of us, and he was an absolutely fantastic talent. And I think a lot of Pompey fans were frustrated we didn't sign him in the summer, to be honest. But yeah, I mean he's obviously the threat. I mean, you've got the whole team as a threat, because there's goals throughout that Peterborough side in many respects. But as I say, I'm just hoping that one of our attacking players can take the limelight away, because they'll be fearing our attacking lineups just as much as we're fearing theirs, likely. But whether you want to man mark him, it's tough to man mark him, because then there's suddenly a gap, there's suddenly a space in the defence that another player can exploit. I think you've just got to treat it like any old game, but know that he's a threat and just don't compromise. If you need to bring him down, as long as it's not in the box. And you know, if we need a bit of James Bolton on Lucas Torreira tackling, then that would be greatly appreciated.
Ivan Toney, we mentioned there, himself a Football League trophy winner back in his day. I say back in his day, he's still quite young himself. But this season, Ryan, 23 league goals in 31 league appearances. 25 and 38 across all competitions in total. And even Mo Issa, their multi-million pound signing from Bristol City in the summer, 14 league goals in 29 matches in League One, 16 out of 35 in all competitions. This week called out on Twitter by a Pompey fan, no mentioning any names.
I saw that.
A flop.
Yeah, how on
Is that fair to say, a striker who is playing alongside the top goal scorer in the division himself, getting 14 goals in 29 games? That's a goal every other game. That's a fantastic record.
A 1-in-2 ratio for a striker is absolutely what you want, because if you end up playing 46 games a season and you end up scoring 23 goals by yourself, that is a happy return. What did Brett in his first season here? I think got a shade over 23, yeah, 25, 26, yeah. And we were absolutely loving that. We chanted his name every single week for that. So Mo Issa coming in, scoring essentially 1-in-2, and then contributing to other areas of the game as well. Peterborough have scored more goals than anyone in the division. There's no getting around that. They scored 66. I think the next highest is on 60. You know, there's absolutely no way you can say that you sign a player who scores 1-in-2 and is part of the most potent attacking force in the league without a doubt. You can't call that a flop. And they have got so many threats in that team, because if it's not Issa, then it's Tony. Yeah. If it's not Tony, then it's Madison. If it's not Madison, it's Sarike Dembele. who's played up front and on the flanks. And even last year when we played them at their place, he was one of those guys that you look at and think, how on earth do you shut him down? So yeah, to call Mo Issa a flop is outrageous, really, because Peterborough are where they are because they approach the game with a mantra of, we will score more than you. Because even though they've scored the most in the league, I think only Burton in the top half have conceded more. I think Peterborough around about 40 goals conceded.
Yeah,
so they are approaching it in.
Yeah,
so they are approaching it via that aspect. And Issa is part of the attacking unit that is getting the job done. So you can't really call that being a flop. It's outrageous. And I saw the Peterborough chairman weigh in on it on Twitter against said Pompey fan. And that was when the whole football community sort of saw it as well. Hang on a minute. This team's firing on all cylinders up front. How can you say anything against that? So. Yeah, I could, and the thing is, it's not as if he had a prolific season and then went to Peterborough. He had a great time at Cheltenham, then essentially took a year off and things went downhill for him, and he's recovered to now be scoring 1-in-2 again in a high league than the one he was actually playing in a couple of years ago, and being part of the most potent force in the league. You want to talk about a player who's, you know, had a dramatic drop-off and then recovered like that? I would say quite fairly that that's Issa.
Yeah. And a point of stat just to add on to what you're talking about there, Ryan, about, you know, the goals conceded by Peterborough for season. You're right in saying 40 goals and the only team in the top half. Burton in 12th, 45 goals shipped this season. The worst defence in the league, Southend, unsurprisingly, second bottom. Only 3 wins in 34 games, 84 goals conceded. Bolton, drop bottom of the league, 20 goals less conceded. More wins as well, 12 points. Of course, they started with a minus 12 goal difference. Looking at Peterborough United then and their stats this season, doing quite all right as well. And okay, they've dropped off a little bit in the last few games with the absence of Mo Issa, of Ivan Tony that we just mentioned. They are just outside of the playoffs. They are picking up points still, 56 points, a draw and a loss in their last two games, just 2 points off the playoffs, although the teams above them do have games in hand. But it's safe to say they are still quite a potent threat and not a team to be taken lightly.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, Ryan, actually, when you said that they approach games that they will concede, but they want to outscore teams. Now, I know that they've got those stats of conceding goals and scoring. We can't be too far off some of the top scorers in the league, I would hazard a guess. And we concede goals here and now, although I think we've certainly tightened up the defence recently.
Yeah.
But I think really it is just going to be about playing them their own game. Let's try and outscore them. It could be a 4-3, could be a 0-0, but let's try at least to try and outscore them.
Lads, thank you. It has been also a difficult season for the Pompey women, who last week played their first league match in over 4 months. Ian Chiverton joins us now to summarise the events of that game, as well as looking ahead to the next.
Hi everyone, my name's Ian Chiverton and welcome to the Pompey Women Update. This weekend, Pompey faced top of the table Crawley Wasps in the league. Due to our successful cup run and the incredible 16 postponements, Pompey find themselves with 6 games in hand over the league leaders. Pompey have already played Crawley twice this season, In November, the Blues went down to a 3-1 away defeat when the teams met in the league. Pompey played two-thirds of the game with 10 players, but were still unlucky not to come away with at least a point, having been in the game right up to the closing stages. Days before Christmas, Pompey were away to Crawley again, this time in the League Cup. Pompey put on a fantastic display that day and came away 2-1 winners. Crawley go into the game in good form, having not lost a match since their December defeat to Portsmouth. They have won all four games since then, scoring 10 goals and conceding none. Pompey will have a mostly fully fit squad to pick from, giving Jay Sadler a welcome selection headache. The match against Crawley is a 2 p.m. kickoff at Gosport's Privet Park. Ticket prices are £5 for adults, £2 for concessions, with accompanying children going for free. Both teams are going to be going for the league title this season, so it's sure to be a fiercely contested match. So why not come on down and experience Gosport's fantastic facilities? As always, you can watch all the Pompey Women goals, highlights and interviews on our YouTube channel, Pompey Women Vlogs.
There you are then, a previous Sunday's Pompey Women fixture away to Oxford United. You wait 4 months for a league game to come at once, just like waiting for a bus. Okay, quick score predictions. Pompey versus Peterborough tomorrow afternoon. Alex Fletcher, going to come to you first.
I'm going to go for a 3-2 Pompey win.
3-2 Pompey win. Ryan Stillwell.
Yeah, 2-2.
I'm going to go same as that. 2-2 draw. Lads, thank you. That music, I'm afraid, spells an end to this evening's Football Hour on Express FM. We may be on our way out of here, but there's still plenty more great shows to look forward to this weekend. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Gloria Miller returns with Music for the Soul until 10, when Hipshaker takes over with 2 hours of 60s soul, R&B and beat through till midnight. Ian McGuinness will be here bright and early in the morning to wake you up for Saturday breakfast. He starts at 7 a.m. and will be live until 10 with all the musical features, local events and travel updates to start your weekend off right. John Cameron is back with Hammer Times at 10 before Kevin Stokes delivers that 80s show from midday. Then join me and Ryan at 2 for the next chapter in Pompey's Rollercoaster League One campaign. Kenny Jackett's side take on Peterborough United at the Western Home Stadium, looking to make it 3 league wins in a row. Can the Blues push up into the automatic promotion places? Find out and catch all of the unmissable action from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And the football doesn't stop there. I'll be back at 6 on Monday evening with two more Blues fans to look ahead to the midweek fixture under the Fratton floodlights. Fleetwood Town are the next side to travel down to PO4. Thanks once again to our two guests, Ryan and Alex, to our sponsors, Stagecoach Across Myself, and finally, you back home for tuning in and helping the show to flow. On the way for you next here on Express is an hour of great music from the noughties. That follows the news at 7. Thanks for listening. Have a safe journey out to Peterborough tomorrow if you're heading up to support the Blues. And if not, I hope to hear from you from 2 o'clock on Pompey Live. Have a great evening and good night.